1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for this portion of thy word. We thank thee that thou hast given it to us for a very specific purpose. We pray that thou wouldst reveal this to us at this time and teach us from these words of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 3:14, our text this morning, is knowing you are alive. Now, in some of our secular institutions of learning today, one of the favorite pastimes of unbelieving teachers is that of tearing down the faith of their students who profess faith in Christ. Some of our own young people have shared with me some of the things that they have experienced from teachers who have sought to ridicule or tear down their personal faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 13 we saw last week, John says, "Marvel not," or "don't be surprised, my brethren, if the world hate you or despise you." The world then would seek to rob the Christian of his joyous assurance in Jesus Christ by telling us that we have no real reason to believe that we can actually know that we are saved, or that salvation is really even necessary at all. And so they would despise us and make fun of us and seek to rob us of the assurance that we have in Jesus Christ, of our salvation in him. And so John here immediately counteracts these forms of hatred of the world by assuring us that men must choose between death and life, and that we can know for sure which one we have chosen. I think there are three things that we should look at this morning in this verse 14. First of all, we see in this verse that there are two spheres of existence. We see, secondly, that there is a decision that we must make. And thirdly, we see that we can know which of these spheres we have chosen. First of all, we find that there are two spheres of existence. A verse that brings this out also very clearly is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. In the first verse of the second chapter of Ephesians, Paul says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so Paul here states then these two very clear spheres of existence. Paul says, God has quickened you, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. And so we have there then the sphere of death and the sphere of quickening. Two spheres. And Paul says then that we were dead in trespasses and sins. The sphere then of death. Adam's sinful condition transferred to us as being sons of Adam. And not only that, but also our own personal choosing to follow on in sinful activities and attitudes. And so there is the area then of death. We have this also brought out very clearly in Psalm 51. Perhaps you'd like to turn to Psalm 51 and look at this with me. In the 51st Psalm, verses 4 and 5, Psalm 51, verses 4 and 5, David says, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And so David says here, beginning in verse 4, I have sinned. He recognizes that he himself personally had sinned against God. And so David says, first of all, I am a sinner. Then, secondly, he says, not only that he himself recognizes himself to be a sinner now, that he had sinned now, but he says in verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." And so, not only does he say, I am a sinner now, but I was born a sinner. And actually, the word there, Golalti, can be translated perhaps much more accurately, rather than shapen in iniquity. I was born in sin. The word meaning to be born. And so David says, first of all, I am a sinner now. I was born a sinner. And then he says, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so the third thing he is stating is that I was conceived a sinner. Now, the word here is not the... There are two words, actually, that are used in the Old Testament for conception. One of them means not only to be conceived, but also can mean to be carried. In other words, a woman would be carrying a child. She would be with child. And so that could be any time in the time in which she is carrying a child. But the word used here, yagham, very specifically refers to the time of conception. This is the word, for example, that is used in Genesis. Jacob uses when he put the cattle before the rods that they might conceive. And God used this to give Jacob the wages that he deserved. And so the word here very specifically is used as the moment of conception. So David is saying, I am a sinner now. I was born a sinner. I was a sinner when I was born. I was conceived a sinner. I was a sinner from the moment of conception. And so we find here very specifically that the pro-abortion idea that the fetus is not a real person is not scriptural. David says, right from the very moment of conception, I was a sinner. And for that reason, very specifically, a person. And so David here says there is very specifically an area of death. Ephesians chapter 1, you remember we read, and you hath he quickened. Now Paul takes these words from the previous chapter, actually they are a summary of the previous chapter. And you hath he quickened, just as God raised Christ from the dead. Paul says, and you also hath he quickened, or given life to, made alive, just as Christ was raised from the dead. And so the second area then is that of life. The area of life, and Paul says, and you hath he quickened or made alive. The second area in which we can exist. Now, Paul says here that the second area is that area of life. Two areas. 1 John chapter 3:14 then tells us the same thing where John says, we know that we have passed from death. And so we have here the sphere of death. And we have, on the other hand, then, the sphere of life. And so there are these two spheres of existence. And Paul says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. And so Paul says, you were in this sphere of death. And God has placed you then in this sphere of life. And everybody is in either one or other of these spheres. There's no middle ground. There's no other place in between. You are either in the sphere of death or you are in the sphere of life. Those are the only two places. And so 1 John says also, we know that we have passed from the sphere of death into the sphere of life. We have a similar idea regarding this in John chapter 13 and verse 1, where Jesus talks about that he was going to depart out of this world and he was going to go unto the Father. And so out of the sphere of this world into the sphere of the Father. Thank you, Ted. And so these two spheres, and the Lord Jesus here, a similar idea then says, I am now in this sphere of existence with you here in this world. I'm going to leave you and I am going to go unto the Father, his sphere of existence. We find a similar idea also in the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus had died and he was in the sphere then of physical death. And the Lord Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth and he came back into this sphere of physical life. Now, Actually, here in 1 John, John is not referring then to physical death and physical life. He's referring rather to spiritual death and spiritual life. And the words here are very specific. In our studies before, we've noticed some of the prepositions in the Greek. And so John says here, ek means out of. In other words, one who is in this particular area. He goes from this particular area and into this area. Ek and ace. Out of one, into another. And it's even more specific in that it says not only out of a sphere of death into a sphere of life, but each one of these words has the article with it, the. And so it's a very specific sphere he's speaking of. And he says, we know that we have passed from the death, referring to the only real death there is, spiritual death, which is the cause of physical death. Out of the sphere of the important area of spiritual death into the life, the sphere of spiritual life. And so John says this is the transition that we make in Jesus Christ. Now, the very same identical phrase is found then in John 5:24. The only other place, actually, the only other place in Scripture where we have this very same identical phrase in John chapter 5 and verse 24. And John, the Lord Jesus there in John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. And here we have the very same identical phrase that John then uses in his epistle, but is passed from death unto life. And we have the identical words there, out of the death and into the life. A transition, a very specific transition from one sphere of existence to another, is passed out of the death into the life. Now, notice what John says here regarding that passing. He says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from the death into the life. Now, the death, then, is the area of condemnation. The life, then, is everlasting life, as we follow through the teaching there in John 5:24. Everlasting life, condemnation, and death. Now, what is the method of passing? He says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. And so there are very specific steps for passing out of the area of death and into the area of life. And that is hearing the word of God and believing the message then contained therein. The God who provided salvation for us through Jesus Christ. And so there's a very specific decision. Now we find in Scripture, the Lord Jesus refers to some who absolutely refused to make that decision, to pass from death unto life. And in John chapter 5 and verse 40, the Lord Jesus says to these Pharisees who were seeking to trap him and to kill him, he says, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. There was a negative decision. You will not do this. They had determined that they would not come to him for life. They did not want to do this. They refused to do this. And we have a negative decision. They were spiritually dead. They were in the area then. They were in this area of spiritual death. And they refused to leave it, even though he explained to them that he had come to give them life and that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He says, you will not do this. You refuse to leave your area of death. Then there is the positive decision. And we have this here, 1 John 3:14, where John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We have passed out of the sphere of death and into the sphere of the life in Jesus Christ. And so we have passed, we have taken these steps. And in fact, the very word there that John uses, we know that we have passed, is a compound word, and it means to take steps to pass over. And these steps in Scripture are very clearly told us to be repentance and faith, repenting of our sins and believing in Jesus Christ. Very specific steps then for passing out of this area of death and into the area of life in Christ. And that's why in Scripture, for example, in 1 Timothy 2:25 and 26, Paul says to Timothy that he should teach the word to these who were resisting, that God teach the word to them, that God might grant to them repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, and to wake up out of the snare of the devil in which they had been taken. And so God then grants repentance as the word is taught, as the word is preached and explained to people. And in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30, Paul, in his sermon there on Mars Hill, says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. So this is a command. And those then who are in this area of death are commanded by God to repent and believe that they might pass into this area then of the life, the sphere of life. Those who refuse to repent and believe remain then in the area of death. And those who by the grace of God repent and believe pass into the area of spiritual life. And therefore have, as John says, everlasting life, and therefore do not come into condemnation. And so we have these two spheres of life. We have the decision that needs to be made. We have then the third thing in this, the knowledge. And John says, we can know. Now, people resist this today, down all through the ages. People resist the idea that you can know that you're saved, and people scoff at the idea. And yet God makes it so very clear in Scripture that we can know the very area in which we are existing, if we are in death, the spiritual death, or if we are in life. Now, the world seeks to take this assurance away from us. The world would seek to pour out their venom and hatred upon us, that we might not have this joyous assurance that we know that we are in Jesus Christ, that we are in the life. And they even sought to do this to the Lord Jesus. In John 8:48, the Pharisees said to the Lord Jesus, don't we say well when we say that you are a Samaritan and that you have a devil or a demon? Now, if anything should make a person feel great, that certainly isn't it, is it? We know that you are a Samaritan, and to call a person a Samaritan was probably the worst thing that you could call a person in that day. We know that you are a Samaritan, the lowest of the low as far as their ideas were concerned, and that you are demon-possessed. But when the world seeks to pour out this kind of hatred upon us, John says here, we, in verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Marvel not if they say, oh, no, I don't believe this business. You can't know that you're saved. That's a lot of nonsense, and you're just self-deceived, and you must be demon-possessed to believe that kind of nonsense. John says, marvel not, don't be surprised when they tell you that, but we know that we have passed from death unto life. And the we here in this verse is an emphatic we. The pronoun is there. Greek is quite a bit like Spanish. In Spanish, for example, you don't need to use the pronoun. In English, we do. For example, we say, we know. Or you can say, you know, or they know, and you change the person by the pronoun. Whereas in Spanish and in Greek, likewise, you don't need the pronoun. The verb itself, the formation of the verb, tells you whether it's we or you or they. And so, usually, all you have is the verb with its proper formation. And when you have the pronoun, it means that it's emphatic. You only use the pronoun when it's definitely emphatic and you want to emphasize the idea. And in Spanish, for example, to say we know, we would say sabemos. But if we want to say we know, we say nosotros sabemos. And it's the same way then in Greek. The idea is the same. They would say oidamen. But if they want to say we know, they say hemis oidamen. And so it's definite, it's emphatic. And so John says when they make fun of you and hate you and ridicule you and try to take away your assurance, then you say, but we know. And the know here isn't just a general know or a know of coming to know. This is a know of perceiving a definite fact. The same word is used to see. And so when you see something, you're looking at it and you know it. And so John says, we know. There's just no clearer way, no more emphatic way that he could say this. We know that we have passed from death unto life. And this is important. A child who is insecure can't really be happy. An employee that's insecure can't really do his job well and be content in it. And in same way God knows that we as Christians to have the joy that he wants us to have, we have to have security. We can't be all the time up in the air and tense and wondering, is he going to really going to accept me, or in the end, is he going to turn his back on me? We have to have assurance. And so God here does this so clearly. We know we have passed from death unto life. And then not only does he tell us the nature of our knowledge that we are in life, he also tells us the means of our knowing this. And so he says, we know this because we love one another. Now, you remember from our previous studies, we studied these words for love. Agape love means conscious choice. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We make the brethren to be our conscious choice. And this conscious choice then leads to the other kind of love, the phileo love, as we studied before, which is a love of feeling. And so as we make the brethren our conscious choice, then we build a feeling of love. We don't try to build up a feeling, we just make them our choice. And so John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we make the brethren our conscious choice. Now, it does not say that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That would make salvation to be one of works. All right, you love the brethren, and that means you will be saved. That's not true. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. In other words, love of the brethren is not the means of passing from death unto life. That's by repentance and faith. But love of the brethren is the assurance, the indication that we have passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren. We make the brethren our conscious choice. I remember one lady, she couldn't get out of church fast enough. Always zip the first one out. She didn't want to see anybody, talk to anybody. She wanted to come, she didn't want to stay. But you know, one day she got saved. One day she trusted Christ as her personal Savior. God granted her repentance and she believed in Christ. And my, what a transformation. And do you know, the janitor could hardly push her out of church. The last one's gone and she was still there. She had to talk to everybody in the whole church. There was just such a marvelous transformation. And it was so evident that she had passed from death unto life because she loved the brethren. Now, they were the same people that were there when she attended before. But for her, they were different. I remember in the Navy, when I first went into the Navy, I'd go to church on Sunday morning. The chapel was there on the base, and the chaplain would have his little sermon. And on Sunday mornings, I'd go. That was the thing to do. You know, everybody went to church, or just about everybody, at least in those days. And if you didn't go to church, well, you were a little different. So you went to church. That was the thing to do. And so I'd go to church. Sunday morning, we'd sit through it. But you know, one night, as these sailors explained the gospel, I trusted Christ as personal Savior. And I passed from death into life. My, what a difference. You know, I was in that chapel with these fellows studying the Bible every night of the week. Every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every night of the week, I was in that chapel studying the Bible with these fellows who were believers. They knew Christ as their personal Savior. And they had shared with me how I could be saved. And as God spoke to my heart, I trusted Christ and passed from death unto life. The only time I wasn't there was Sunday morning. Because on Sunday mornings we went into town to a church that preached the gospel, because the chaplain never did tell anything from the Bible. It's always do good, be good, try to get there and hope so, that kind of thing, you know. And so the only time I'd gone before was now the time I didn't go, because he didn't have anything worth saying. He didn't tell us what God said from Scripture. He just tried to fulfill his obligations of having a service on Sunday morning. What a change. And I knew that I had passed from death unto life, because I loved the brethren. I just couldn't be with them enough. And so John says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now sometimes for our family, relatives, or friends, this becomes very irritating. And when all of a sudden we want to be with the brethren, when all of a sudden we want to be with people who are saved and know they're saved and born again, have the joy of the Lord, sometimes our family doesn't understand that if they're not saved and they haven't passed from death unto life. And we'll get some feedback like, well, now it's all right if you want to be religious, but do you have to be Baptist? No, let's not go overboard on this. You know, why can't you just be a normal religious person? You know, we've got nothing against religion. If you want to be religious, that's fine. But just be a normal religious person. But our love for those whom the world despises reveals that there is a spiritual change that has come into our lives. And this morning, really, as I look out upon you people, I wonder, you know, what is so special about you people that I should spend so much time with you? I can remember back in a time in my life when I thought people like you were a little bit kooky, and I avoided them. But now we have such wonderful times together. Why is that? You are very special to me now because I have passed from death unto life, just as you have. And God has given us this marvelous life to share together. Now, John finishes this verse by telling us that those who lack this love also can know something. He says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, you notice the word his there is in italics. It means it's not in the original. And it should be rather, he that loveth the brethren, or a brother, or from the context, the brethren. Actually, there's some dispute as to the word brother, but that doesn't matter because the context says, he that loveth abideth in death, and the context is the brethren. And so the person who does not love Christians abides in death. He still remains. The word there, abide, means to remain. And so the person who does not love the brethren, the person who does not love Christians, the person who does not love those who are born again by personal faith in Jesus Christ, he can know something. You know what it is that he can know? He can know that he is still remaining in the sphere of death. And in these two circles of death and life, if there's no real love for those who are in Jesus Christ, for those who have life in Christ, then he knows that he is still in death. And that's how he can know. And so John says, he that loveth not the brethren remains or abides in death. That doesn't matter how cultured the person is, how religious he is, how moral he might be. If you don't love Christians simply because they are Christians and belong to Christ, if you do not prefer the company of those who are in the sphere of life, who are in Jesus Christ, that means you are dead. You are still in the sphere of death. And you can know that. And as you look at the situation, you say, do I love those who love Jesus Christ? Do I make them my conscious choice? And if not, You say, well, that indicates that I am still in the sphere of death. That means that you have not left the realm of death in which you existed, not only since the time of your birth, since the very time of your conception. You began in death. And if you do not love the brethren, that is where you still are. And God wants you to know this. And John says we can know this. And so God then commands us to repent and believe the gospel. We're told in Scripture that because of the sinfulness of our hearts, we are under God's judgment, but that Christ on the cross died for our sins and he bore our judgment upon himself. And as John says in verse 5:24, if we are willing to hear what God says, to give ear to what he is saying, and repent of our sins and trust Jesus Christ, then we pass out of this area of death, and we pass then into the area of life. You will pass from the death, which is an everlasting condemnation, into the life, which is an everlasting bliss with Jesus Christ in heaven. And you do this by repentance of your sin and faith in Christ. And when you do this, you will see in your life a love for those who likewise know this new life in Jesus Christ. You will love and want to be with God's people. Now, they're no more perfect than they were before you were saved, but you'll love them. With all of the natural, normal human faults, your desire will be towards them as God's people. I think that's why David could say in Psalm 121, verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, what made David so happy about going to the house of the Lord? Well, of course, that's where he went to worship God. And first of all, he went for that purpose. But then as he went, he met with those who also wanted to worship God and had marvelous fellowship together with them. And so he said, that made me very happy. The very place that we tend to avoid while we're in the sphere of death is the place that becomes our greatest joy as we pass into life. And so John says, brethren, don't worry. Don't be surprised and don't be concerned if the world hates you and seeks to deride everything you believe in. We know that we have passed from the sphere of eternal death and condemnation into the sphere of life in Jesus Christ. And the way we know that is because there is in our hearts now a love, conscious choice for God's people, those who also have trusted Christ. Shall we pray? Father, this morning, we thank you that not only is it by your grace that we come to see our need of Jesus Christ and come to a newness of life in him. We thank you also that you have provided for us the full assurance of this transformation. We praise you for this provision. Not only that we can be saved from our sin, from a lost eternity, from even living this life in a living death, and spending all of eternity separated from the life of God. We thank you, you've not only made the provision for passing out of this death and passing into life in Christ, but you've made provision that we might know and have the assurance, the joy of knowing that we've passed from death to life. We thank you for this. What a joy it is to our hearts. No matter how the world then would ridicule us and seek to take from us the assurances you've given, we thank you that we can know. What a joy this morning then to fellowship with thy people, the very people that before we avoided, now become our joy because we are together in Christ. Now we pray this morning, Father, should there be one in our midst who has never passed out of the death into the life. This morning they sense in their hearts that you're speaking to them. and that they need to be saved. We pray that this very morning they might in faith cry out to Thee, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. Save me because He died for my sins. And we thank You that You've told us very clearly that if we will hear, if we will listen to what You tell us, and we will believe that this is true, that Jesus did die for our sins, and that we can be saved by trusting Him, we thank You that then we have the assurance that we have passed from death unto life, because You place in us a love toward these very people that before we despised. We praise You for this provision. In Jesus' name, amen.